Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. So did you see that chart in the Wall Street Journal this morning? A nice upward sloping curve for once. It looked like good news. But wait, nope, that rising line represented unemployment numbers. The Bureau of Labor Statistics then released the official November unemployment figures this morning. And as we've been hearing, including on that newscast, the news is really bad. So we're going to do two things right now. One, a kind of sharing among you all, and also analysis of what this means from a guest. The sharing part comes from you. If you have ever lost a job, suddenly been laid off, what do you do first? Because there are 500,000 more Americans unemployed today than there were a month ago, according to these stats. 500,000, that's an unbelievable number for 1 month. That's how many people lost jobs in the month of November, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So we have a comments page, but also call up and tell all those newly disoriented ex-workers, for the moment ex-workers, what do you do first when you lose your job? What did you do first? How did you get yourself oriented into the transition period? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Anybody have any good what do you do first tips? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. While we look at the big picture with Nariman Berevish, chief economist at IHS Global Insight, the financial analysis and economic forecasting firm. Mr. Berevish, welcome to WNYC. Hi there.
Thank you very much.
And let's put these numbers in context a little bit. I guess the official jobless rate is now 6.7%. Half a million or so jobs lost in November, as you said. How do we put that in context?
Well, a couple of ways. The first is this is the biggest monthly decline in jobs since December of 1974. That was 34 years ago.
Wow. What was happening in December 1974? Do you know?
We were in the depths of one of the worst recessions in the post-war period. So we're at least going to be one of the worst. I mean, we're in one of the worst recessions in the post-war period and in the running to be the worst recession in the post-war period. So this is bad. I mean, the only way to say it is this number was horrible, and it's scary because it suggests that the economy is in a free fall.
Although another number that I keep hearing is that in the 1982 recession, we hit 10% unemployment. And 6.7%, if that's really where we're at right now, is not that close to 10%. So how should we think about that?
Well, we're on the way up. There's no question about it. We can debate about where unemployment peaks. Our view right now is it will peak at least at 9%, and it could easily go above 10%. So I think we're on our way to very high unemployment rates over the next year and ones that could set some records, some unfortunate records, but records nonetheless.
Is there any way to know if this is the worst of it, whether we've hit bottom with this 500,000 jobs lost in 1 month and 2 million over the course of the year?
I would say we're not close to the bottom yet. If we're lucky, and the luck, some of it has to do with how quickly Mr. Obama can put in place a massive fiscal stimulus package. If that happens, we probably won't hit bottom until, I would guess, the spring, summer sometime. But that's the good scenario. The bad scenario is that it takes a while to get this fiscal stimulus package going, and in which case the pain could continue through the fall and maybe even to next winter.
How do these new unemployment numbers dovetail with the bailouts, which is what we've been talking about most of the show today? We've tried pouring money into the top of the economy, AIG, Citigroup, maybe the automakers next. Is that stemming the tide? Would it be even worse at the unemployment level were that not happening?
Well, definitely, if we hadn't done that, things would be worse. However, part of the problem is that they haven't fixed the underlying problems, which is to say, especially problems in housing. One of the big sort of missing pieces of the puzzle, missing ingredients, if you will, is that we haven't successfully stemmed the tide of rising foreclosures. And I think until we do that, we haven't really dealt with the underlying problem, which is the sort of the stress and pain in the housing market. So some of this so-called TARP money, some of the $700 billion, has to be focused on reducing that rise in foreclosures, which in turn is putting huge downward pressure on home prices.
So we've invited people to call in and advise our newly unemployed listeners what they did first when they were newly unemployed. Liz in Brooklyn, this happened to you?
Yes.
So what did you do first?
The first thing I did was I called my therapist and increased my sessions. And I called all of my really close friends and said, just remind me in the next couple of months what a terrific person I am and how this is going to be okay and I'm going to get a good job. And they've been supportive, but it's been 5 months. And in that time, I have to say, I've been listening to you a lot, and you've been terrific.
Well, that's really nice of you. But after 5 months, can you still afford your therapist?
Yes. I mean, you know, the thing is that responsible companies are giving people, you know, packages and helping them extend their benefits, and that was another thing. I mean, you want to make sure that you can negotiate with your former employer to have your benefits continued for a period, and then also have help making the payments for the premiums.
Right. Self-esteem first.
Self-esteem was really critical, and I'm on the verge of getting another job. So it's
great.
Really.
Well, we'll be sorry to lose you as a listener, but you can.
Oh, are you kidding? I could see me at work.
That's great. Yeah, you'll get a job and you'll go back to loafing and listen to the radio. Liz, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
Now, Nariman Barevich, she talked about the health benefits that lasted for her a period of time after her job. You know, there is COBRA, and the rules for that change from time to time. Do you think that as people do find out that they're getting laid off, that they can negotiate for, you know, maybe longer periods of severance, longer periods of COBRA health benefits, things like that?
There are some legal limits to that. However, you know, certainly one hope is that as part of this package that Mr. Obama is considering, including extended unemployment benefits, that there might be a way to allow for companies to extend that COBRA period, which typically lasts only 1 year. So that's definitely the hope, because it could well be that there are a lot of people going to be out of work for an extended period of time during this recession.
Quentin in Brooklyn, what did you do first? Quentin, you there? Do I have your name right?
Yes, you do. Thank you. And two things. Get your resume in order. I mean, all of my advice is hopefully you did this before you got fired, but get your resume together or several different versions of your resume together, and also just sit down and go over every shred of your debt or finance and, you know, plan your
really get your financial house in order. That's a good first thing to do. And then maybe you can't quite think about the resume the first day, but obviously that has to come. And Hussein in Brooklyn has a letter to write before your next resume cover letter. Hussein, what is it?
Sir, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Mr. Brian, I make you the most famous person in the Muslim world. I told them that I knew only one person who has encyclopedic knowledge, that was Socrates. And you can comment on from cooking to sports to economics. So I don't know how you get all these expertise.
You're way, way too generous. But thank you, Hussein.
No, believe me, Mr. Brian, I always believe that ignorance is never blessing. It is always a curse for the family, for the individual, and for the nation. So individuals like you, sir, they are a source of enlightenment. So what I did, I lost my job. October 2003, I was working for the OCA, Office of Court Administration, as a translator. I was cashing my language.
And the first thing you did was?
I wrote a letter to my supervisor, immediate supervisor, thanking him that he gave me the job.
Ah.
And I also write a letter to Honorable Judge John that I am so thankful that I was given a chance to give me a job. And I should know why my services were terminated. So it is now September 2008. I was told that why my services were terminated. Second thing I did,
took
that
them
I
long enough.
Mr. Brian, I have only one request, that since 1808, there is a we are probably 16 or 17 individuals who were on the pay of OCA, and we were not telling them that the Urdu, Hindi, Pakistani Punjabi, and Indian Punjabi are different languages, because to get a job, we should qualify for three languages.
Hussein, what is the OCA?
OCA is Office of Court Administration.
Oh, the court administration. Oh, so there's a lot of translation service that goes on there.
Yes, sir. This is the only OCA which give to his 2 million individuals the full-time court interpreters. Not here on this earth, and somebody has had more than this OCA, that they give us a full-time job, they give us a half-time, a half-day job.
And Hussein, I have to leave it there. But good luck to you, and thank you for all those overly kind words. Mr. Berovich, you know, what he said really at the heart of that was so interesting about the first letter that you write is to the employer who laid you off, thanking them for your employment when they were able to keep you on. Do you think that serves any functional benefit?
Well, clearly no one should burn their bridges at their sort of the former employers, and to the extent that you can ensure that you're going to get a very good recommendation and evaluation, even though they had to lay you off, I think that's crucial going forward. So you do not want to create any problems in that regard. So I think, yeah, it is a good idea to keep those relations very, very good and very positive.
Nariman Berovich is my guest on WNYC, Chief Economist at IHS Global Insight, the financial analysis and economic forecasting firm. As we talk about the dreadful new unemployment numbers for November out today, more than 500,000 Americans losing their job just last month alone, putting us at the worst rate of decline now since 1974. So we're doing the economic analysis with him and getting tips from you for people who are just losing their jobs now. What should you do first? And Mr. Berovich, we know what unemployment means to individuals, and we've certainly been hearing some of it from our callers at 212-433-WNYC. What does rising unemployment mean for the economy as a whole? Is there a spiral that takes place? Is this how we, you know, God forbid, get to deflation and depression?
Well, that is definitely the risk here, although I think the risk of a depression is still relatively low, but you very much get into this downward spiral where as people lose jobs, they spend less. As they spend less, you know, companies earn less, they hire fewer people, they fire more people, more job losses, less spending, down, 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 down. So that's, you know, job losses, spending cuts, and there you have it.
And what about the fiscal stimulus that President-elect Obama is promising and that you referred to before? He says 2.5 million jobs over his first 2 years. That's about the same number of jobs, if I've got these numbers right, that have been lost just in the last year alone. Is that right?
That is correct. Yeah, we've lost almost 2 million jobs over the last year. We're probably going to lose another 2 million over the next year. This fiscal stimulus has to be a lot bigger. We think at least $1 trillion instead of that sort of $700 billion that's being talked about.
Really? This is your position, a $1 trillion stimulus package?
Absolutely. Spread over 2 years, but it has to be big, it's got to be bold, it's got to be quick.
Now, you know there are people, conservative economists, for example, who call those make-work jobs and say they would actually get in the way of the private sector recovering. What do you say to that?
The problem is when you get into this negative spiral, this downward spiral, the markets tend not to be able to get us out of them. And that's, of course, what happened in the Great Depression. This is not the time for fiscal conservatism. This is the time for big, bold government action. I'm a free market economist, but there are times when the government has to intervene and intervene massively to turn things around, and this is one of those times.
From our comments page, Karen from Manhattan with a correction. She says the individual COBRA monthly premiums, $750 per month. Family coverage is much more expensive. Another caller points out another factual error with what was said about COBRA, that it can last 18, 27, or 36 months. But again, it's very expensive. So when you get these COBRA policies, Mr. Berovich, that extend your health insurance from after the day that you get laid off, but you have to pay, right?
That's correct. I mean, we didn't say that explicitly, but that is right. You're paying for it. You have the option, and it's presumably it's a little cheaper, maybe not a lot cheaper, a little cheaper than if you go out and try to get private insurance because you're still sort of part of the corporate plan. But indeed, it's expensive. There's a lot of out of pocket expenses involved in that.
Pearl and Forest Hills, what did you do first?
Well, the first thing I did was make sure that I stayed in contact with everyone, build up a network. Most jobs, and I freelance, come from networking. The second thing that I think is important is to schedule your days. And a great way to do that, and something someone told me to do, and I've been doing it ever since, is volunteer. Is to get out there and volunteer an afternoon. You'll find you'll have a lot of free time on your hands, and it feels good to give.
Feels good to give, for sure. But what do you say to people who might be afraid that if they're volunteering, if they're giving their work away, that it devalues them in the marketplace?
I'm talking about volunteering at charity organizations and helping others.
Yes.
In that way, not volunteering necessarily your skill set.
Good. Thank you very much. Kathy in New Jersey, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
Sure. First thing I would do is walk to the nearest unemployment building and sign up for benefits, because the longer you wait, the more you'll delay your benefits. And at this point right now, who knows how long benefits are going to last.
Thank you. And Nariman Berovich, are you familiar with unemployment benefits? How much do people get from unemployment, if you know the answer, relative to their salaries?
I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but it's definitely much less than their salary. And I think one of the things that the Obama administration has proposed is to actually extend those benefits, not necessarily increase the percentage, but to extend them. So, understanding that in this very deep recession, that there are going to be a lot of people who are going to be out of a job for an extended period of time.
Do you have to be unemployed for a certain amount of time in order to qualify for unemployment? Can you get it while you're on severance, for example?
To be honest with you, I don't know all the details of the unemployment benefits here. So
okay, we'll have to do. I'll tell you what, folks. We'll do a separate feature on this coming up. We'll try to get some of those answers by the end of this segment, or we'll do something next week. But Deborah in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Deborah.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
Good.
Good. The first thing I would suggest is make sure you take a day to sleep, rest, grieve, indulge in the poison of your choice, whether that's, the pint of Haagen-Dazs or an Oprah marathon. But then set a limit on it of, 24 to 48 hours, no more than 48 hours, because as you can hear from everybody else's suggestion, you're probably going to be working the hardest you've ever worked before in trying to find work.
Yeah.
I've been freelance for 15 years. I lost my last full-time job in early 90s and worked for a couple years again after that. And I learned a lot out of that experience.
Freelancers are always working and always looking for work.
Yeah, and the other most important thing, and I heard somebody else mention it, is really structure your days. So after that, 48 hours of grieving, set a schedule that you honor and keep to, because it's keeping your own word to yourself. And also make sure you get out of the house every day, whether that's an appointment for a networking lunch or a coffee or to be of service somewhere, to remember that you actually have something to give, because if it's going to be a long time, we kind of forget that we actually do have skills and value, and I think that's where the volunteering really
helps.
That's
all really good stuff. You should write an article.
Oh,
Deborah,
maybe I will.
Deborah, thank you very much. And Nariman Berovich, before you go, we've been hearing the tips from, peer-to-peer in our listening audience, what to do first when you lose your job, but from you as an economist, if the economy is fundamentally unsound, built on debt and consumption, when people can't get credit and aren't buying things, how do we get out of this?
Well, I think, again, this is where the government comes in. The government has to move in very quickly and put in place a series of programs, tax cuts, spending increases, to start generating the kind of jobs that are necessary to turn things around and put a positive dynamic on the economy.
Doesn't the lesson of FDR policies in the Depression tell us that the jobs programs can ease the pain for a lot of people, but they don't actually jumpstart the private sector economy?
I think a lot of the problems with the FDR policies were indeed that they were make work. This time around, certainly the hope is that a lot of things that have not been done, let's say in terms of infrastructure, crumbling bridges, roads, and so forth, these are necessary. We need to do them for the long-term health of the economy, and that here's our opportunity to both help the economy turn around and do this badly needed sort of repair.
Nariman Berevich, Chief Economist at IHS Global Insight. Thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
And Sherry in Manhattan is going to get the last word on this segment, and I think you're about to hear why. Hi, Sherry.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. You have a special day today, I think.
Yeah, today is my last day at work. Aww. I'm getting laid off in a couple of hours.
How do you know? Did they tell you already?
Yeah, they gave me the heads up on Wednesday. They were kind enough to tell me when I got back from Thanksgiving vacation that I was being laid off on Friday.
And are they doing anything for you on this last day?
I'm getting a lot of hugs from my fellow construction workers, which is weird, but, you know, it still leaves you with an empty feeling, you know.
And,
you've been a viable part of the economy and being able to bring home a check every week, and all of a sudden for that to be taken away in a matter of days is
stunning. You're a construction worker?
Yes, I'm a union construction worker at that.
So you go from job to job, right?
I go from job to job, but the thing is that my union hall is filled. It's about 100 people in there.
Waiting for work.
Looking for work, yeah.
So do they give you anything on the way out, like severance or a COBRA or anything?
No, they hand me my last paycheck and pat me on the back.
That is terrible. Well, I hope... Did you learn anything from any of the other callers about what you're going to do first?
Yeah, I'm going to go home and take a nice hot bath and enjoy the weekend. And then Monday, I'll attack it again and find me some work.
Sounds good. Sounds like you have a good attitude toward it anyway. Sherry, thanks for calling in, and keep calling us during your unemployment. We'll do everything we can to help you get back to work, okay?
Thank you, sir. You have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Thank you very much. How about that? And she actually called to tell us a story. By the way, the current maximum weekly for unemployment benefits is $405 a week in New York State, we were told. So we'll do more on unemployment maybe next week. Thanks to all of you for your calls on what to do first when you lose your job. And coming up next, we'll look at more of the plan to restructure the financing of the MTA. There's a payroll tax in it. Stay tuned.